welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Last week, as Pastor Tom was wrapping up the message at the second service, talking about how to love one another, as you guys were going out rejoicing and finishing up a time gathering and celebrating as the people of God, I was enduring a restless night of sleep in a hotel in Vietnam. And at about 1:15 in the morning, I was awakened out of a fitful sleep by a call from the front desk requesting that I come down to the lobby. And as I inquired as to the timing of this request and just kind of the reasoning behind it, my inquiry was met with not a request, but a demand to come to the front. And as I exited my room, I found myself meeting my traveling companions in the hallway, Paul, our missionary in Southeast Asia, and a dear friend, Dr. Russ, who has been in that area doing missions work on many occasions with myself. And it wasn't just us that was singled out, it was every person in the hotel was called to come down to the lobby. And as we made our way down, we started hearing the rumors of what was taking place. And the Vietnam government officials had been to the building, and they were barricading off the road to where we were. And there was a growing fear and a panic about why that was and what was taking place. And as we found ourselves in the lobby and as we began to get some clarity as to what was taking place, they were bringing a team into the hotel to clean every room from the 10th floor all the way down. And they were talking about the virus. And they were talking about quarantine. And for the next several hours, we had no answers to what was taking place. We had a lot of questions and a growing fear and anxiety in the place that we were. And as that began to grow and as the conversations began to be had, it became very clear to us that the government was putting a mandatory 14-day quarantine on the hotel, that nobody was going to be allowed to leave, including the staff. The barricades got closer and closer to the hotel from down the street until they were right outside the front door, and the Vietnamese military police were out front to make sure that the quarantine was going to be enforced. And before that had even taken place, I had only been in the country for several hours, but on immediate arrival had already been dealing with a growing fear and an anxiety, as if a spirit of fear had been assigned to myself and to our party when we got there. And as we wrestled through trying to make decisions, trying to communicate with our families and with our loved ones, anticipating disrupted travel plans, trying to connect with our leadership here to make sure that they were looped in and that we had a plan going forward, I could feel through the night that my own strength was beginning to fail me. There was a growing fear and an anxiety that I had to keep pressing back. That every thought and every sensation was a battle with fear. And my own voice would fail me as I would begin to pray and I would begin to praise. See, I know how to respond in times of difficulty. Like, I know biblically what to do when I'm sensing the presence of darkness. Like, I know even intuitively that I need to be a person of prayer, that I need to be a person of praise. I know those things, but in the moment, as I was dealing with that, I was pressing and battling for the very soundness of my mind, I found myself in a place where my voice would fail me, where the words couldn't come out of my mouth. And right now, our world knows exactly what that feels like. It is likely that you know exactly what that feels like, to be hounded by fear, to have a sense of helplessness and a loss of control, to be battling for a sound mind, to be pressing for just a respite in your mind, a peace that seems to just be ever elusive. Because right now, everywhere we look, we see courage failing. When we look to the outside world around us, we see the courage of men failing. When we look within us, we can see our courage waning. And this is precisely why so often in Scripture we are given the charge to be strong and courageous. It is precisely why when God spoke to his people in times of old, where very often he would speak the words, be strong and very courageous, that there was a charge given. And it wasn't to be strong and courageous in their own strength. It was to be strong and courageous in the certainty that the one who was calling them to courage would be with them in the time of need. Jesus, oftentimes in speaking to his disciples, had a phrase that he repeated where he would say, take courage, take courage, take courage. And over in the New Testament, as Paul and others were writing letters to the church and to believers, they were charged with encouraging one another. A favorite verse of ours here is Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, where Scripture tells us to encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. See, the enemy would come and he would want to press you with darkness, and he would want to deceive you into a place where you fell into the belief that you really were helpless, that there was no hope, and that all is lost. But when we encourage one another in the truth of who God is and what he does on behalf of his people in times of difficulty, there is a courage that we share with one another. Be strong and courageous. Encourage one another daily. Verse 14 says, we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Don't waver. Don't waver. Be strong. Be courageous. In Paul's letter to the churches in Thessaloniki, he closes with this. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And there are so many other places where Paul and the other New Testament writers give that charge to the church. Encourage one another. Build one another up. Because there are moments when your courage fails. There are moments when fear presses to the very doorstep of your heart, and you can feel your courage waver. And it's in those moments that you can't rely on your own courage, you can't rely on your own faith, in a sense, but where you need to lean on one another. Because to encourage really has a picture of lending courage one to another. To lean on one another for strength. To encourage is to draw strength from one another. And as the hours passed, as I sat in the hotel lobby, and as Paul and Russ and I tried to speak back and forth, words of hope and words of encouragement, trying to anticipate how we were going to make decisions, what we were going to do over the next 2 weeks, where everything was put on hold. And where the very mechanisms for us getting out of the country were going to be disrupted. I remember a very distinct moment was where as I would pray and try to push back this sense of anxiety and then just feel like it was coming in like a flood. Have you felt that before? Have you been in that place? Scripture describes it. That there are moments when the enemy presses in like a flood. And you feel overwhelmed. You feel as if you're going to drown. And I remember in one of those moments, I looked at Paul, our missionary. I looked him straight in the eyes, and I said these words. And I said, I am going to need to borrow some of your courage. I need you to be courageous for me in this moment because I need to borrow some of your courage. Because there are moments when our courage begins to fail. And as the hours ticked on and they had cleansed the hotel and they finally gave us the okay to go back to our rooms, I was back up in my hotel room, sitting in the dark, alone, trying to fight for a peace of mind that would let me rest, that would let me go back to sleep, and finding that a difficult enterprise. And I was reminded of Acts chapter 16, a story that many of you would be familiar with, where Paul and Silas had gone into Philippi, and they had begun to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and they had begun to see conversions and things taking place. But because they had drawn a line in the sand and they had had a showdown with somebody who had been overwhelmed and oppressed by demonic possession, and as they had brought liberty to that place, as they had drawn a line and they had stood against the darkness, they found themselves arrested for what they had done. They found themselves beaten and placed in the very bottom of the prison with their hands and their feet in chains. And I was reminded of that story because it's such a remarkable thing. In Acts chapter 16, in verse 25, it tells us how Paul and Silas responded to that. And I knew this intuitively, and I was trying to do this for myself. But what they did together was this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And then suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. I love this story. I've preached on this story. I've tried to respond in similar cases with the way that they did in this story. And sitting in my room, I was trying to pray. I was trying to sing. But my voice would fail me. I couldn't get the words from my heart to my mouth because I was so pressed and harassed where I was. And one of the things that you see illustrated in the way that Paul and Silas responded was what it looks like to face difficulty with one another. What it looks like to draw courage one to another. And there are three things that I want to look at this morning. Three things that I want to look in this morning that are ways for you and I to not only draw courage, but to lend it as well. And can I tell you, man of God, woman of God, the world around you right now needs your courage. Your community needs your courage, your coworkers need your courage. Then in this time of uncertainty and in a growing presence of fear, the church needs to rise up with courageous faith. And not just enough courage to find our voice, not just enough courage to find our feet, but with enough courage to lend it to those who have no hope, to bring them to a place where they draw courage not just from us, but where they draw courage from the source, where they are drawn to their Heavenly Father. There are three ways that you and I can begin to encourage one another, lending it and drawing it. Three ways that you and I can demonstrate this, and they're very spiritual, but they're also very practical. They're very spiritual, and they are also very practical. And the first one we see illustrated in the way that Paul and Silas were together, and that is you and I need to be present. You and I need to be present. We need to be with one another. It's why that the gathering of the believers is so important. Because sitting alone in that hotel room, in isolation and in the darkness, fighting for the very soundness of my own mind, trying to encourage and to build myself up in that place, that's a hard endeavor. That's a difficult place to be, especially when you feel harassed and pressed by the enemy. You need somebody to lean on. You need somebody who you can practically lean on. And I know that the Lord is with me. I know that Jesus had said that he would never leave me nor forsake me. I know all of those things about being in that room and knowing that God was present in that place. But my courage was failing. My voice was failing. And even as I tried to speak those promises, I would find it a fight to even stand on the promises that I knew in my heart, but in my experience was proving elusive. We need one another in that place. When Jesus sent the disciples out to minister the truths of the kingdom of God, he didn't send them alone. He always sent them in pairs. If you noted that in your scripture, when he sent out the 12, they went in twos. When he sent out the 70, they went in twos. They always went with somebody else. And it wasn't because somehow the Spirit of God wasn't enough for them. It wasn't somehow that the authority of Christ's name, that it wasn't enough. It's because we need one another. Because there are moments when we have to draw courage one from another, where we need to be accountable to the things that are the truths of Scripture, where we need to bear one another burdens up, and it's a spiritual and practical thing. And right now, our world is not trending towards being together. Like, our world is not being one with another. In fact, watching it from a distance from overseas, you can see country after country, nation after nation, community after community drawing itself into isolation. You can see people withdrawing in fear, away from others, away from the soundness of community. And they draw themselves to their television set and they watch the news and they watch the news and they watch the news and they pull out their phone and they scroll through their Facebook feed and they scroll through their feed and everything they see feeds the fear in them. And there is nobody there to offer hope. There is nobody there to offer courage. And it's in isolation that we suffocate hope. We have to be present. We have to be present. A few days later, we found ourselves down in Ho Chi Minh. And you already know that since I'm here this morning, that there was some miraculous answers to prayer. We'll get to that in a moment, not to spoil the ending. And when we were down in Ho Chi Minh, we were gathering with the National Foursquare leaders of Vietnam to train them in how to raise up leaders, to train them, into how to empower disciples that make disciples. And it was so important for us to be there because we needed to be present. We could send an encouragement through an email, but it says something else to show up. It says something else to show up, and being present, we're able to draw courage. We're able to lend courage. And as we spent the day training those leaders, if you were paying attention to the environment, you would have known that as you came into the building and as you went up to the second floor, the place where the little church meets, one of the many in Ho Chi Minh, if you had gone downstairs to make some tea during the break, you would have noticed that the metal gates and the doors to the building, that they were all closed. That, in fact, we came through the open sliding garage door up and down. They never even opened the doors to the building, that those gates were closed. And if you had a careful eye, you would have seen that it was padlocked from the inside. Because they live in a constant fear and threat of the government and the nation that they minister in. Every one of those national leaders has been persecuted for their faith. Every one of those leaders, men and women alike, had been arrested, had been treated unfairly, had been brutalized at the hands of their own government. And yet they would still meet. They would meet and they would encourage, and we got to be in that place. And I can tell you that of the days that I spent in that nation, that was the day that my courage was built. That was the day that I was drawing courage, not by encouraging them, but from their strength, from their solidarity, from their willingness to lead in a land that doesn't want them to lead, to be a voice for righteousness in a land that wants to ignore the truths of God. Being present does that for us. When we are drawn together out of isolation into community, that one anotherness, we're able to encourage one another in a very, very practical way by just showing up. Can I tell you, you being here this morning lends courage to the others who came. I guarantee that as you were getting ready for church this morning, you were wondering if you would be the only one who showed. Will I be the only one there? We draw courage one from another. And by being present, we do that. A second way that's very, very spiritual and it's also very, very practical. Okay, we have to be present, but we also have to pray. We need to be people of prayer. And we see that in Paul and Silas, that after being beaten and arrested and thrown into the very bottom of the dungeon of that jail, that their response was to pray and to sing hymns, that their response was to go to the Lord in prayer. And we know that, right? Those of you, like, we're church folk. We know we're supposed to pray. Our pastor has told us that enough. But what do you do when you can't find your voice? How do you pray when you can't get the words out? I was in that place where I knew to pray, but it was so suffocating. I didn't know what to pray. My mind was so tormented. It was racing in so many different directions. I didn't know what to pray. Have you been there? Have you lost your voice? Knowing that you need to pray, knowing that you need to pray, and maybe just getting to the place where you can just say the name of Jesus over and over and over and over, and just believing that his name would be enough. How do you find your voice? How do you pray when you can't find your voice? And some of us would respond with to pray in the Spirit. And I can tell you that I would do that, and I would feel some measure of respite, but my strength and my courage and my voice would still fail. How do you pray when you can't seem to pray? Let me give you two ways. One is you ask somebody else to pray for you. Scripture calls that intercession. It's to intercede. Somebody who stands in the gap for you or stands in your place and prays on your behalf. As we were wrestling through all of the difficulties, all of the unknown, we began to reach out to those who would pray for us. And so it was our pastors and our leaders and our ministry leads here that I reached out to, making sure that I talked to Pastor Beth first, because my wife probably needed to hear from me before she heard from somebody else what was going on. Wisdom, right? But we mobilized people in prayer because we needed people to pray for us. Our missionary, Paul, has a whole host of intercessors that pray for him and his ministry and our ongoing work in Southeast Asia. Dr. Russ has a whole network of people, and we let people know. This is what we're facing. This is what we know, and here's all the unknown. Just pray, just pray, just pray, just pray. When you can't find your voice to pray, you have to ask somebody to pray for you. That's why we have a prayer station here that we use during service, because there's times where we have burdens that are too heavy for us to even bear to the foot of the cross. We need somebody to help us carry them to that point. We know that if we can get them to Jesus, that we can find rest, but sometimes we can't get there on our own. And so we have to draw on somebody else's courage, somebody else's strength to get us to that place. And when we ask others to pray for us, to pray on our behalf, that's what we do. When you can't find your voice to pray, you have to lean on somebody else and you have to borrow their voice. And you have to ask them to pray in your stead. And so we mobilized leaders and networks to begin to pray for us. And in 12 hours, the quarantine was lifted. The government that came in and said 14 days minimum, and then we'll see. The government who said, you can't leave from this place. The government that wasn't going to compensate for the expenses, but you would be held accountable for those. That came in and said, this is how we're going to respond, and this is how things are going to take place. 12 hours later, everything was gone. I had walked downstairs from my room because I couldn't be in there. Have you ever been in a place where somebody said you couldn't leave and you're just like, I got to get out of here? Didn't matter how nice it was or how good it was just like, I can't do this. I would be in that place of isolation. I would feel just pressing in, and I would walk down. I couldn't even ride the elevator. I would walk down, and I would go to the front of the building. There was about 6 feet out front, and I would just stand there and try to feel the sun on my face, and then I would walk back up to my room. And on one of those occasions, I walked down, and I was standing there. And the lady at the front desk was on the phone, and she got done with it. And there was a few of us down there, and she just said, hey, I've got some news. The quarantine's over, and you guys can all go home. What? Right? And you don't believe that, do you? You feel like it's some kind of sick ploy, that the enemy is going to just continue to mess with you in very real ways. And I heard the news, and I heard the news, and I heard the news. And so I went upstairs and I shared it with Paul, and it was almost too good to be true. And we talked together and we walked downstairs. And in the time I had walked up the stairs, shared the news with Paul, gathered Russ, and we walked back down the stairs to the front, everything was gone. All of the barricades in front of the hotel were gone. All of the military personnel were gone. Everything was gone. And you walk out and you look down the street and there's nothing. It's just over in a matter of 12 hours. And I believe that prayer had something to do with that. I believe that prayer had something to do with that. But there's another way to pray when you can't find your voice. There's another way to pray when you can't find your voice, when you don't have the voice to even pray in the Spirit. And when you're borrowing the voice of others to intercede for you, the other way that you can pray is that you can pray Scripture. And by that, I would say to read it aloud and declare it to be truth. On my way out, I had received a text before I ever left the country. I have a number of pastor friends in this community that knew a little bit about the trip and some of the things that I would be going through. And one of my pastor friends in this community is Pastor David Baines. And he had sent me a text on my way out. And he wanted to let me know that he was praying for me, but very specifically that he was praying a specific scripture over me and my trip. And the scripture that he was praying was Psalm 91. He said, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you today. And I'm praying Psalm 91 over you and over your trip. And about halfway through the quarantine hours, I got a text from Pastor Beth. And she said, hey, I just saw this online and I'm praying for this for you. And coincidentally, it was Psalm 91. And I can tell you over the next several days, even though the quarantine was something that had been lifted, that there was still the travel through the nation and the training of the leaders. And there was this constant spirit of fear that hounded us. And throughout my time there, I spent a lot of time in Psalm 91. And I want to read it for you. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I will find refuge. His faithfulness will be my shield and wall. I will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Though 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, it will not come near me. If I make the Most High my dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall me, no disaster will come near my tent. For He will command His angels concerning me to guard me in all of my ways. They will lift me up in their hands so that my foot would not strike against a stone. I will tread upon the lion and the cobra. I will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. If you were reading along, you would know that I changed all of those pronouns to me, to I, because that's how I read it. That's how I spoke it. That's how I prayed it aloud. When I didn't have a voice for my own prayers, I would read the Word of God over my situation. You and I need to be present in this time. We need to be present with others. We need to be present with other believers, and we need to be present in our community, because they cannot draw courage from us if we are not there to lend it. And we need to be people of prayer. And if you can't find your voice, there are still other ways to pray. And you invite others to pray on your behalf, and you draw courage from their courage, and you draw faith from their faith, that you lend freely one to another as we build one another up. And you can pray the Word of God over your situation. Present prayer. The other thing that you see Paul and Silas put into practice was praise and worship. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. There's something that happens in us when we begin to praise despite our circumstance, when we begin to worship despite our circumstance. In fact, this morning you didn't take a lot of prompting to begin to worship, because you're already here because you want to press in. You're already here because there's an anticipation that God has something to speak to you and that He can act on your behalf. The pump was already primed in your heart to respond in faith before anything else happened. We were coming to worship. But there are times where in the dark night of our soul, we can't find our voice to worship, where we want to sing, but there's no song in our heart. Have you been there? Have you been in that place? On multiple times on my trip, I would find myself in this place where my mind would be tormented, where I would begin to feel that press of anxiety, where I would begin to feel that presence of fear. And over and over and over and over again, I turned to worship. But here's the thing. I didn't have my own song. I didn't have my own song. But what I did have, I want to share with you this morning. Because I wasn't in a place where I could rely on my playlist. I wasn't in a place where I could rely on my Spotify mix. I couldn't just go to my inspirational worship file folder and press that and have it play because of where I was and the intermittent Wi-Fi that I would have with my phone. But I did have something that I listened to over and over and over and over, because on the first part of my trip, I was in Thailand with our Akka friends, speaking at their revival and encouraging their leaders and being a part of the celebration of the Bible seminary that I have opportunities to teach at, being encouraged and built up by the people of God. And just recently, they learned a new song. It's a song that we just recently learned as a congregation. It's the song Waymaker. And they learned it in Akka. They translated the song, and they learned to play it. And at the revival, they were singing this song, and I was struck by it. And so I recorded it on my phone. I recorded it on the memos. And over and over and over on my trip, when I would feel the darkness pressing in, when I would not have my own voice to sing, I would just hit play on this. I would just hit play on this. To the chorus, let's join them.
Thank you.
can't help but be encouraged by that. Okay, so imagine yourself just watching me sitting on a bus with my earbuds in, and when that drum solo drops, just start pumping my fist in the air, but you don't know what's going on. I just look like an angry American, right? Man, I can tell you that I learned a lot about where encouragement can come from in just the last week. It's one of the reasons why we're having service this morning. Because this message needed to be spoken. And we needed to enjoy it in each other's company. Because there's something that happens when the people of God are drawn together, that they are built up one to another. That they are built up one to another. What would it look like if you and I walked in this type of courage this week? What would it look like if we walked in a way where we fought for courageous hope and courageous faith this week? What would our community begin to look like if the people of God, instead of withdrawing and isolating, chose to be present? Not unwise, but present. What would it look like if we began to not offer just prayer for ourselves, but to intercede for those around us? What would it look like if we demonstrated what it looked like to walk with an attitude of praise, where the joy of the Lord is our strength, because He inhabits the praises of His people, and in His presence is the fullness of joy? What would it begin to look like if we would demonstrate ourselves with that type of courage? And can I tell you, you won't be able to sustain that on your own. You won't be able, I know that you're spiritual. I know that you love Jesus. But there is a limit to where we can go and what we can do when we are using our own voice, when we can only go so far on our own, which is why we're called to encourage one another. Why we're called to draw courage from the presence of God, but why we are called to lend courage one to another. What would things begin to look like in our community if we began to take that type of stance? How could we change the atmosphere around us? And what peace could we invite into our community? What courage could we demonstrate if we began to lend and draw courage from one another? Towards the end of his letter to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, Paul gives the church this charge. He says, "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything in love." Worship team, if you would come forward, I'm going to invite you to stand this morning. Lord, we acknowledge that we live in a time that courage is required. Lord, we acknowledge that we live in a time where faith is being tested. Lord, we acknowledge that we live in a time that hope is desperately needed. And Lord, we acknowledge that as your people, we're supposed to have all of that. That we are to be people of strength and courage, not out of our individual effort, not out of our sheer will, not out of just a desire to be so, but because you are our refuge, because you are our shield, because you are our strength. Because as you've declared in Psalm 91, that you will answer when we call. That you will be with us in times of trouble. We draw courage from you and from the truth of your word. We We are to have hope because your word tells us that those who have placed their hope in the Lord will not be disappointed. We are called to be people who walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, forgive us for filling our eyes and our minds with the words of the naysayers, filling our hearts with the troubled reports from all around the globe. Lord, we're not ignoring the circumstance. We're not ignoring the severity of what may be faced, and we're not ignoring the fear and the anxiousness that is all around us. But we're acknowledging that we have an answer to that, and His name is Jesus. That we have substance for our faith and we have substance for our hope. It's not in an idle notion. It is in the name above every name. It is in the name of Jesus. Lord, give us a heart that is courageous today. And Lord, give us the humility to acknowledge to those around us when our own courage is wavering. That we would have the humility of heart to look at our brothers and sisters in Christ and say, I need to borrow some of your courage today. I need to borrow your voice today because my voice is failing me. Will you pray for me? Will you encourage me? Will you lift up your song in my place? Lord, you've called us to be a community of believers that bears one another's burdens and encourages one another daily. Help us to do that for one another and for the world around us, that we would encourage one another. And Lord, for any heart here that would be fearful today, may your perfect love drive that fear out, as your word says. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind for hearts and minds here that are unsound, that are plagued by anxious thoughts and worried hearts. Lord, we speak your love. We speak your peace over them. Your word says that we need not be anxious about anything, but in everything that we can pray, and that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, give us that courage. Give us that hope, that peace, and that faith today. And give us those things in an overwhelming portion so that we may lend to our brothers and sisters. That may we may draw courage from one another. And Lord, as we go out today celebrating your great name, celebrating that you are a living God and that you are a risen Savior, celebrating that you answer prayer, and even when we pray for our nation, when we turn ourselves to you and humbly pray, that you bring rest and healing to our lands, that we've declared that in faith today, Lord, that as we go out, help us to walk in courage this week. When we're in the public spaces, that we would be men and women of courageous faith. That we're in our workplace, that we would be men and women of courageous faith. Lord, that we would fill our hearts with your word and that we would fill our mouths with your prayers and praise. Lord, that we would demonstrate what it means to be men and women of courageous faith. Lead us into that this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Got a few action steps for you to act on this week. And the first one, if you're on social media in any way, can we begin to post encouragements instead of discouragements, to flood that space with the Word of God? What I'd like to encourage you to do is each day this week to post a portion of Psalm 91. You can use a different psalm too, but post an encouragement from the Word of God, encouraging those around you. Number two, pray about somebody in the community that the Lord would put on your heart and mail them a letter. Okay, mail a letter of encouragement. I know that it sounds silly, but I really feel pressed that we need to do this. mail a note of encouragement to somebody in our community this week, and then begin in your own places to begin to lift your own praise and worship. Begin to lift your own voice to the Lord and celebrate what He's done and what He has promised to do on our behalf.
Let's go out with singing this morning.